Hey, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This morning we are going to be at Jeremiah chapter 13, 12 through 14. We're going to be talking about some wine.
Wine.
So let's have some coffee. We'll pray and we'll figure out what the Lord's talking about with Jeremiah with wine. Oh, no coffee. Okay. You lost my game. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for time together. Thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you indeed would please help us as we read your word to understand it. Lord, we pray that you would please teach us and that it would be impactful to our lives. We need your help, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here you go. Jeremiah chapter 13, beginning at verse 12. Deborah, I will let you read.
Therefore, you shall speak to them this word. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they will say to you, do we not certainly know that every bottle will be filled with wine?
Then you shall say to them, thus says Jehovah, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings who sit on David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, with drunkenness, and I will dash them against one another, even the fathers and the sons together, says the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but will destroy them. Oh, nice uplifting word this morning, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so we gotta ask our ABCs. A, what's this?
About.
B, what's the...
best verse to summarize.
And C, what are we...
called to do.
All right, so what do you think this is about?
Wine and drunkenness.
Wine and drunkenness.
And destruction.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to start with like the obvious, right? Where Jeremiah's going to say from the Lord, right? Thus says the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine. And what's our answer?
Every bottle's already filled with wine and we already know that.
Yeah, like, duh. But come on, Jeremiah, that's so dumb. But the Lord has something he's trying to say with that. And what's the surprise?
You guys are going to be drunk and destroyed.
Do you think they're going to literally be drunk? Or do you think they're going to act like drunks?
They will act and some of them will be.
Yeah.
Because there are people who are drunk on a regular basis.
Yeah, but the Lord is saying, right, he's going to destroy them in their drunkenness. Right, they're drunk on their own pride and their own power and their own self-glory and idolatry. And he's saying, well, it's all going to come to an end. Mm-hmm. And who's going to do it?
God.
But doesn't this seem kind of unloving? Why would God say this, right? He says he's not going to spare any. He's not going to have mercy, but he's going to destroy them. Why would God say that? Doesn't that sound just kind of mean and angry?
Hasn't he been very gracious letting them live this long?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He had been slow to anger, hadn't he? Mm-hmm. For centuries and centuries and centuries. Warning them and sending the prophets. And would they listen?
Nope.
No. No, they wouldn't listen. So, let's go ahead and go. I think that's a good enough summary, right? You can walk out of here and tell your mom what this was about.
Yep.
All right, so what would you underline as the best verse to summarize this then?
Yeah,
13 and 14 underlined in my Bible.
13 and 14 is half of the thing, though.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, but I think that gets at the heart of it, right? So we think about seek calling for us, right? Oh, I know. This is just saying simply, don't get drunk.
Nope.
But isn't drunkenness a sin?
Yes.
But so it doesn't. Isn't that what this is talking about? Isn't that just a correct application from this?
No, because it's also drunkenness in like heart and mind.
What do you mean by that?
Like, so caught up in all your stuff that you're not aware of anything that's happening around you.
Oh, so I just need to learn more self-awareness is what this is saying.
No.
So So what are we called to do? How does this point us to Jesus Christ? Where's the covenant of grace in this? How does it apply to us?
Don't make God angry.
Well, isn't God angry with the wicked every day? And I know that I'm wicked. Yeah. I know that I sin. So how can I avoid his anger and wrath then?
Jesus.
Well, can't I avoid his anger and wrath by just doing all the right stuff?
No.
Why not?
Because you're still going to sin in your heart.
Well, yeah, so I could just get my heart in check. And then it'll be all right.
Sin in your mind.
So I'll just have my mind renewed and I'll just think correctly.
And that is impossible?
Yeah, right, this all starts and finds us in Jesus Christ, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jesus Christ is the one who God did not spare, who God showed no pity, who God did not have mercy upon when he was on that cross. Right, but by his stripes we are healed. He took the stripes we deserved. He took the punishment that was due to us. He became sin that we might be the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. Right? And so we look at this and we go, hold on. I got to ask one last question. So if Jesus took all that for us and God poured out his wrath, he didn't spare, or he didn't pity him, he didn't spare him, he didn't have any mercy on Jesus, but he destroyed him. So we could do whatever we want then, right? Because Jesus has paid it all.
No.
What do you mean, no?
We still have responsibility.
What's our responsibility?
The world.
What do you mean by that?
The Lord called us to be caretakers.
Okay. Well, do you think that we also, if we were saved from being children of the devil, should we keep acting like children of the devil?
No.
No, what should we act like now?
Children of the Lord.
Yeah, children of God, right? Because we're his slaves.
No.
No? Then why would we want to act like his children?
He just sent a daddy for us a couple of years ago.
What's that?
He just sent his son to die for us.
Oh.
Why wouldn't we love him?
Oh, so we obey him because we love him?
Yes.
So we love him first, right?
No.
No?
No.
Who loved first?
God.
God loved first, and because he loved us out of love, now we follow him?
Yes.
I think that's pretty good. Yeah. That's what Jeremiah has been trying to tell them. Mm-hmm. God redeemed you. God is saying, I bought you. I called you out of Egypt. I gave you David, my son, as a king. I gave you the temple. I gave you the law. And you won't listen. And so destruction's coming. And so we should learn from this type of story. Not out of pride, but out of going, the Lord's not joking. The Lord doesn't play games. But thanks be to God, he fulfilled what we would have been just like the Israelites here. Mm-hmm. But yet he's good to us. You think that's a good place to stop? Mm-hmm. Would you like to pray, or would you like me to pray?
You always ask this question, and you always know the answer.
Well, maybe someday you'll say you want to. Do you want me to?
Yes.
Okay. God, thank you so much for sending us your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. Lord, you did not spare him. You did not pity him. You showed him no mercy, that you might spare us, that you might have pity upon us, that you might let us be the objects of your mercy. God, please teach us to follow after you and to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you. May you walk in the ways of Jesus Christ. May you, a redeemed child of God, always love your father and walk in his ways. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.